Hey guys, it's Hunter Hoover here. I'm your podcast manager. I wanted to drop in at the beginning of this episode before we get to the chat to give you guys the reminder that Parable Ministries is a listener and community supported ministry. If you feel so called to give, you can go online at parableministries.com/give, or you can just go to the main page and click on the give button, and we would greatly appreciate any donations that go to the work of keeping up this ministry, developing new things in the podcast and online sphere here, and pushing into new things. So if you feel so called to give, you can go do that. We covered your prayers. I also want to let you know that Parable Ministries is live on YouTube. So you can go subscribe to us on YouTube, and we would love for you to do that. We got a bunch of back catalog of podcasts that we have a really cool artwork to accompany them. And so go check that out. We've also got some video that we're working on. So join us over on YouTube as well. And so without further ado, here's Marta, and we'll get into the chat.
Hey there. Welcome to Pickled Parables. This podcast is presented by Parable Ministries as a Bible teaching resource. Thank you for joining us. Pickled Parables is a podcast about taking in and living out the Bible. Here we will study, contemplate, and testify to the Bible's incredible teachings and how it leads us to live better lives. To stay up to date with all things Parable, follow us on Instagram at @parable_ministries and visit our website at parableministries.com. We hope today's message finds you well.
Welcome back. This is, what are we, did we land on pickled chats? Is that, I'm Hunter. I'm your host. At least that's what the program here says. And I'm joined with, Jesse. Jesse, how are you?
I'm doing well, Hunter.
Awesome. And we also have Michael Rogers here. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Perfect. Well, we're back. This is our second one of these little ventures into kind of chats and conversations. Last time we discussed a little bit about what is ministry. We started that conversation, but we also looked more primarily at the history of parable. And Jesse shared pretty extensively kind of the background and some stories and tales of woe related to the forming of parable here. And so this week, I was hoping that we could continue in the conversation of what is ministry. And so I guess we'll just kind of open it up, and or I can start, or y'all can jump in. But what is, when you guys think of ministry, what do you, like, what is that to you? The ambiguous blob in our brain that is ministry, what is that?
Michael, do you have any thoughts?
Oh, Michael, you're muted.
Oh,
don't worry. I unmuted you.
And then I muted myself again after you unmuted me.
So much power.
I was going to say, Jesse, I do have thoughts, but I was going to let you go first.
Oh, okay. Sure. I can go first.
Yeah.
So ministry, in my, like that blob you're talking about, in my mind, is, I don't know, maybe you could say it's like the motivation or the submission, really whichever word you'd like to put in there. But the focus is to glorify God and have it be a benefit for others. Kind of that Abrahamic idea of, I have been blessed, so I will be a blessing. And there's many different facets of ministry. There's evangelism. We see, like in Matthew, or no, well, it's in Matthew, but I remember Luke 10, where the Jesus sent out like 70 or 72 guys to go out and proclaim the good news before he arrived. And then we have other examples, like in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. And that's like evangelism, discipleship, edification. It's like make disciples, teach, bring up, build up my church. And then we see in Acts chapter 6, like things changing and then
right.
the apostles adapting and appointing seven deacons for the purpose of service. And so we see ministry itself being very multifaceted, very different, but it all really boils down, I think, to glorifying God and being a benefit to others and like in pointing them to the Lord.
Do you think, like with the idea of the Great Commission, I know a lot of times when you hear the Great Commission brought up, at least like in Bible school, they brought up the Great Commission in like missions class. And it's like, see guys, this is why we do missions. But really like it is a call and a charge for all believers, not just like the ones who want to go into formal missions. And so one of the things that I was kind of thinking through is ministry, is it for all believers? Or is there, do we delineate between ministry and some sort of formal, like, and Michael, you can share your thoughts on ministry, but I think almost like ministry is very broadly, like just any time like believers render service or do work on behalf of God. Would be like my most broad definition of it. And then it gets a little more chunky from there. But Michael, do you want to add to the working definition for us as we explore it?
Sure. I like to try to see ministry as a sort of holistic thing where you're meeting both physical and spiritual needs in it. And so you take the Great Commission, for example, the primary, even though it's rendered this way in English, the primary verb, though, the verb there isn't go. It's make disciples, teaching them mm-hmm. and baptizing them and so on and so forth. And so it's a very much a as you're going sort of thing. And so there's a very real sense in which our day-to-day lives are supposed to be an example of what ministry is, where we're ministering to our families and to our wives and our spouses and our children, if right. we have them. Also has to do with how our relationships develop at work and what sort of influence we're being wherever we're at, whether it be at work or at the home or in some traditionally speaking ministry context where you might be serving at your church or serving a particular purpose. I think a lot of times if we isolate the physical, if we try to isolate and do only like a physical ministry or only a spiritual ministry, you're either going to miss out on the gospel and the truth of God's word, or you might come across as more of a sort of a legalistic ministry where you must believe and do exactly as I say. So I try to think of it as sort of an everyday and every moment sort of thing. Not as necessarily a only, like what you were saying, only those who are called to do ministry are supposed to do ministry in some sort of special purpose. But
yeah, if you didn't receive a dream or a vision, my understanding is you cannot minister. So,
I'm out.
No, So for folks who are maybe joining us and just, I'm gonna go ahead and label myself as the dry humor. Like, sorry guys, Michael can dunk on it pretty good too sometimes with the edgy, but yeah. I like, Michael, I like what you said, like, as you go about your day to day, I think it's the Shema where it you know, they hear, O Israel, Lord your God, the Lord is one. And then there's like a gap. I should just go find it. But there's like a gap in it. And then it talks about like, as you walk on, by the way,
as you're going in, as you're going out, laying down, rising up.
Yeah.
I forget the exact wording, but I know what you're talking about. Like the words of the law will be on your forehead sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just part of your everyday experience. Right. And it's almost the air you breathe in a sense.
Yeah. And I think to me, like that's kind of what's floating around in my brain as you're saying that is like, it's almost, like those who are in ministry, if they're in ministry, I don't know as if there's like a time where you hang it up. Granted, you have to have time for yourself to recharge and rest. But like, yeah, I think, you know, you'll get the call at 1 a.m. and that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Or you'll be having lunch and you'll see people that, you know, they're going through a hard time and your ministry's there too. It just kind of, it's kind of an emptying of it's in modeling after Christ, that emptying of yourself a little bit and being willing to say, you know what, this is part of this. Do you guys think that level, that degree of calling with ministry, is that for everyone? This is my roundabout way of saying, can Christians just kind of show up and, you know, not have a ministry? Is there precedence for that?
The first thought that came to mind was 1 Peter chapter 2.
Yeah.
There's a fun little part in there that goes kind of like, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for the Lord's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want to latch on to the royal priesthood part of that statement, where we have been called into something that's much, much bigger than ourselves. And there's lots of fun stuff in the Old Testament about serving as a priest with what does it start with Melchizedek, and then it goes to Aaron. And then we have this whole lineage of priests, and then we have like those character types coming up where David starts to do a little both roles of king and priest a little bit, not really, but, and then we have Jesus come and be all of those things like priest, prophet, and king. But we have been brought into the Lord's marvelous light, as it says, and we're like, to proclaim that, help bring other people into that. And that's an every person deal. I think that's an every person's calling.
Yeah. Do you think then like the specific facets of ministry are more what is particular? Like, cause I mean, it talks about how, I want to say it's Ephesians 2, but it talks about how, you know, the gifting and not all should be pastors. Not all should be teachers. That maybe is when we start talking about like people being called to ministry. Maybe those are those specific ministry areas are the things where people are called. I put that in quotes because I mean, we've talked before, but like, yeah, we can fully get into calling right now, and that can of worms will be its own can of worms, but, cause I mean, like you've heard people have said like, God doesn't, call the, I'm going to get it twisted. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Is that a Bible verse?
No. I haven't been able to find it personally. yeah.
I've heard of that before. I mean, and I just read through, 1 Corinthians recently, and there's a very, very long part about like, the body is made up of different parts, and is speaking about the church, like the body of Christ, and how like not everyone should be an eyeball, or not everyone should be an ear, and Paul, the apostle Paul, is using that to say things like not everyone should speak in tongues, not everyone should prophesy, like there needs to be differing roles and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's good. Not everyone, not Michael's trying to rein me in. It's convenient. Okay, I'm going to speak honestly here. Do you guys feel it sometimes that there's some areas that just people are just miraculously not called to? Nursery work, man. Nobody's ever called to serve in the nursery. That, I mean, there's a handful of just saintly ladies and maybe some grandfather figures, but my goodness, I feel like sometimes just nobody, it's like, hey, yeah, it's not my calling. It's like, well, it could be.
Shouldn't it ever be an excuse?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess like, yeah, I'm pushing back on the like people. So I think calling can sometimes, I get it. I get what people are saying, but I think sometimes it's used as an excuse in the church to avoid maybe where the Spirit is directing a person. And I mean, I think every Christian at some point has served in a ministry that's not their cup of tea or their strong suit. I think it's okay. Yeah.
Calling isn't Builds about character. What you feel like or what you necessarily want to do all the time. I mean, every father's called to, you know, in a sense, lead and serve his children. And that includes changing diapers when you don't want to.
Sloppy wet ones, baby. little bit of my That's own what, little,
People don't Jesse's like working in ministry. For
Jesse's
that.
Like, Jesse's like, why did he say sloppy wet on this conversation about what is ministry? It's fine. There's a whole song about it.
Not the whole there sloppy is? Wet kiss. That's a different
sloppy wet kiss. All I can think of, which by the way, I refuse to sing any other version. I refuse to sing any other version. I will not do it. All I can think, I don't know. Here we are. We just got to do it. If you guys have seen SpongeBob, but at one point they're like trying to blow the bubble wand and they've really got to wet the whistle. And every time I hear sloppy wet kiss, that is all that's in my brain. It's just like, anyway.
Sounds like they could have done with a better worship lyric.
Yeah, I do like it. Let's have the full debate. Let you know right here. I like it better than Unforeseen. Unforeseen feels like he snuck up on me, and I don't know how I feel about it.
Do you know the name of this song? Just for anyone who doesn't know, there's a contemporary worship song. I forget the name of it.
Nobody, it's Sloppy Wet. Sloppy Wet.
There is a lyric in it.
How He Loves Us by David Crowder Band or something like that.
Is it
David
like
Chowder
that?
Band?
David.
And there's a lyric where it's like, the Lord will come meet us with a sloppy wet kiss. And then there's some versions of that song where people kind of.
The churches got upset because sloppy wet was too messy. And they're like, we have to, this can't. The people are getting too wild. We have to rein this in.
And so what did they change it to?
Unforeseen. Like hiding in the dark. Yeah.
I don't really want an unforeseen kiss. I'll just be honest. I don't want that.
That's what I'm saying. And I would argue that theologically, if this is a metaphor for God's love, it should not have been unforeseen. It should have been like seen a mile coming from a mile away.
I feel like you're getting into the reckless love for the Lord at this point.
Ooh, don't. That's another one, Jesse. I can't be an adult and talk about that song. anyway,
I have some notes, but let's just have a conversation, see where it goes.
This is
where it went.
This is where it went. And it's all, but it's good though. Like, so ministry, jumping back over to the ministry conversation, got to rein myself in.
Good job.
The other thing, so who is ministry ever done, not in a vacuum, but like, who is it performed for? Like, is it, I think my gut is like, oh, we do it for God because he wants us to do it. But like, He also doesn't, could God work without us doing ministry? I guess is where I'm getting at. These are like my ramblings.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. No one
this
else.
This is a really exciting thing.
Oh, go ahead. Say no one else knocked the Apostle Michael? Paul off his horse.
I think it's one of the coolest things when I come to the Bible is seeing all the different people who were involved in writing it. Like we adhere to the it is inspired by the Lord. It is like written from the Lord, but there tends to be sometimes for some people this understanding that the Lord possessed the writer and then made him write out the things he wanted him to say. And that's how we got the Bible. It was much more of a partnership, I believe, where the person worked with the Lord and the Spirit influenced them, but there's still characteristics of like, yeah, we can tell that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter because it's his style of writing. We have enough of his letters to see, yeah, that's how he does it. Mm-hmm. And like everyone still has their personalities. Everyone still has their way of communicating, but they're like partnering with the Lord to communicate the things he once said. And that's a really cool thing because it's like a lot of people involved in the Bible. And we see that in ministry where a lot of people are involved in like fulfilling the Great Commission and working with God's people, working to help bring people into the fold and to become God's people. And that's just a beautiful thing, that partnership of trying to walk in step with the Spirit and trying to work in a way that honors the Lord. And there's that maturity that comes along with it. Like you grow in discernment, you grow in your love for the Lord and your understanding of him and his ways. And so as you mature and grow in the faith with the Lord, that just gets added to it. You I don't know if you could say you get more added responsibility, like that parable of like getting the little, what's that called? The Midas or the talents, the talents. There we go. I don't know if that could get correlated brought in or not, but it's just a really cool thing to see people partnering with the Lord in that way.
Well, and I think that makes sense. I mean, especially when Michael kind of talked about like parenthood and if, when you think of like the fatherhood of God, a lot of like the metaphors that are attached to that are so good because I think about like my own kids. I want them as they get older to receive more and more responsibility and have more and more capability to meet those things. And sometimes the awful truth is just giving them the space to fail utterly. And is like, well, you have to learn. There's some things that you have to learn and I can tell you, but you're not going to listen. So you have to learn them this way. And I think ministry, even when we quote unquote fail, whether that's through, you know, we set a goal and it wasn't met, or I don't think we ever really fail if we are rendering service to God and directing that toward others in a sense where, you know, the gospel is either preached or shown to them. And I think specifically about how Paul. He talks about how like one guy planted and the other dude watered and then, you know.
That's 1 Corinthians. Yeah.
Oh, Jesse's like, I've got 1 Corinthians down right now.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's that idea is sometimes it's tough because when you are not the one who gets to be the harvester, I think it can be tough and it can be easy to say, I don't know if this ministry is being successful, whatever that looks like. But, you know, God has this perspective that's so much outside of the you know, 6 to however many years, I'm trying to think, average youth pastor is sitting in about 4 years, I think. So, there's that. It's weird how that happens. They just, they're just called away from it. it's a magic number. I don't understand it. So kind of related to that, are there any specific examples of ministry in the Bible that resonate with you guys? And I can share, well, actually, I don't want to share one first because I don't want to steal one of yours. Michael, do you have any like specific examples, whether it's people or groups of people in the Bible that are like, these are ministries that stand out and are meaningful to you?
Can I give one or two?
You can give as many as you want.
Okay. I'm going to steal all of them from Jesse, so he has to come up with something new.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I said, as you're talking about, not, you know, some people watering, others harvesting, it reminded me of particularly Abraham, but also, I believe it's several people in Hebrews 11 who were simply obedient to God and what he directed them to do and never saw the end result. They were all looking ahead to what God has promised and believed him, even though the fulfillment of his promise was still hundreds, if not over 1,000 years off, in some cases. And so it's helpful to remember and encouraging to remember in those moments where you're doing what you believe God has called you to do, and you're not always seeing the results that you would like. But it's a great reminder to stay the course and be faithful, even when everything seems like it's not. Like it's not working out like it's supposed to.
Yeah. Can I read that in Hebrews? It's Hebrews 11, 39 and 40. It says all these. So he's listed all of these like heroes of the faith. Like you're saying, he said, all these though commended through their faith did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. It's as if like you're saying, we very much, the faith we have in Christ benefits from the path that they have paved. Yeah, that's super cool. What was your other one that you can steal before Jesse's?
Oh, I just kind of like Timothy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like all, like Paul specifically, like he's on his way out. He's like, he's going to be buried soon. Like, but he's like writing.
What like a way, he, you know, you're right. That's
like he was on his way out,
dead like, or alive, baby. He's gonna be
well, just about. But like Paul and like all the founding apostles were that,
yeah,
like they're already gone or soon to be. And so like here's, maybe it's not just Timothy specifically, but here's Timothy and this whole new generation of church leaders who are. Paul charges Timothy to like preach the word and stay faithful to the word of God. And it just kind of, I don't know. I just think it's really cool.
But yeah. No, yeah. I, especially like when you think of how young, well, at least young Timothy was. I mean, Paul talks about how like, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Yeah, it's just a big reminder. I remind that, especially, I mean, it's probably pretty cliche. It is cliche, but I remind like the teens and even the kids here of like, hey, you know, you see examples in scripture of kids and young people doing pretty significant things ministry-wise. I'll share one real quick. I think, Jesse, you're looking for some. I want to share one. So one for me that has stood out for a long time is the prophet Jeremiah. And because there's been times in ministry where I almost feel like I'm kicking a wall And that's probably awful to say, but like, I feel like, is this doing anything? Yeah, people are showing up and they eat the pizza and, you know, they'll read a Bible verse and we'll pray together. But like, is it making a difference spiritually in their lives? And like the prophet Jeremiah, God, you know, he gave him not a very happy message to the people. I mean, it was pretty like, hey, figure it out or you're going to have some trouble coming your way. And Jeremiah goes and preaches that message and like nobody wants to hear it. And they mistreat him. They hate him. And he still is like, and even by the end of it, they didn't figure it out. Like, and but if you take like, oh, you know, what happened on the surface, you could look at it and say, well, he kind of failed because like he told them to change and they didn't. And it still happened. And that like by that measure, most of the prophets, they did not do well. But like the fact that they showed up and did the thing God wanted them to do, even in the face of all the hardship, it's this reminder of that sometimes. And I think there is, we can get into that in a little bit, but I think there's a time to be like, to say, hey, I think this ministry, there's my resources are better spent elsewhere. But I think if this is like the path that God is like driving you towards and you feel the Holy Spirit leading you into it more and more, whether or not you see a giant fruitful production from that, I mean, there is benefit in, there's ministry rendered by doing the thing God has called you to do. So yeah, the prophet Jeremiah, he's pretty neat. One of the people that, I don't know if I can talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Brad Detweiler was one of the people that like pulled that out for me. It was the youth group had taken a little bit of a dip in attendance just because of numbers and number of kids graduating, number of kids coming in. And it was like, you know what? This is what we're called to be here for, and we're going to be faithful to it, and our ministry is going to be faithful to it. And I was like, respect. So,
Brad, Jesse, is the goat.
Yeah, he is. I love Brad. He is the goat. That is a true statement.
I am a big fan of Apollos. He's not mentioned much in the New Testament. He pops up. He has lots of little moments where he pops up. And I think the first moment he pops up is in Acts chapter 18, kind of near the end of Acts chapter 18. And if it's okay, it's a few verses. I'll just read. It's a short little story, and it'll help explain kind of why I enjoy him. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, he went to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. Hmm. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him, and they wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who, through grace, had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. And I love that, because it's this very competent man who's well-studied, and we have this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, come and correct him. And he like takes their criticism, he takes their instruction, and then he like goes because they want him to be just to teach with more accuracy. And he takes that and he just leans into it and he's open to it. And that's an incredible thing that's kind of hard to find, is being open to criticism, especially when it's something that you've just poured your heart into, like teaching a big sermon or lesson or something. And so to receive that with the grace that it seems he did, and then take that and be more I don't know what the right word would be, more powerful, I guess, and in his ministry, in the work he was doing, going and being a great help to those brothers in Achaia. It's a really encouraging thing to me. I want that. I want to have that openness for like healthy, constructive criticism, and then take that so that I can be better in the work that I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying when I was going through like the little notes thing. I was trying to find examples that were specifically edification, and I think this is a good one. I think there's a case to be made for discipleship, but I think, yeah, I'm glad you shared that because I was struggling to find a real clear edification example. I'm like, oh. Is edification even a real thing? Is it just like a byproduct? That's where I got to. And then I had to stop because I got in a weird space. yeah. Another for me is Aaron. Aaron, he's kind of a turd because he kind of ruins everything from the start. But
you mean the priest Aaron, the brother of Moses?
Yeah. He got voluntold big time. Like he wasn't even supposed to be involved. And then Moses was kind of flaking and God said, okay, well, Aaron can help you, I guess. And then Aaron's like first trip out, like, well, he did the staff thing, but but like his first act as priest is like golden calf, guys. And it's just a flop. But what I love is like, he fails pretty big early on in multiple ways. His kids are, they have not figured it out.
Oh yeah.
But by the end of Aaron's life, there's this story where like, there's this plague that's rushing through Israel. And Aaron is the one that as the plague is moving, it talks about, I think it's number 16. But it talks about like how Aaron stands between the living and the dead and the plague stops. And it, to me, it is almost as if like his ministry was something that grew. Because the Aaron that is like first gut reaction is golden calf is a different person than the guy that like stands up in the face of this plague to like defend the people essentially. So yeah, I like him as an example of like how our ministry can and should it should not stay where like it should grow. And especially as like we, as Christians grow in our faith. Mm-hmm. Aaron wasn't a Christian per se. It's one of those fun predicaments of believers in the Old Testament and like Jesus saves them retroactively. Right. Yeah.
We're derailing Aaron, so fast.
Aaron is a great example. of how the Lord works with people that you really wouldn't expect. Like God's grace is going to come from that guy,
right?
And it's just more powerful, and it's like a more testament to the Lord's grace.
Okay, sorry. So Moses is used. Moses is used every time by the like equip the called the equipped people. Mm-hmm. Moses is used as this case study of like, see, God equips the people he calls. God called Moses and God equipped Moses to get the job done, which he did do. But like the flip side coin of that is Aaron was equipped to speak because Moses is like, my brother's really good at talking. And then God called him via Moses's failure. Both are presented, and we like to highlight one more than the other. That's my mini soapbox for – that's one of many. So I'm going to go out on a limb and posit the elephant in the room, which is the characters and the people that do ministry in the Bible. They did not have the internet, I know, that we know of.
I mean, Moses got the Ten Commandments on a tablet from the cloud.
Yes.
So
yes, from the cloud. Thank you, Michael.
I can't take credit for that. I believe it was my mother-in-law. She used to share that with me the other day.
I was going to say, every Christian dad is just taking notes vigorously. Like, oh, this is great. Every youth pastor just Like, I'm going to go.
Wasn't original to me. Don't worry. Yep.
And then they flip their chair around and they sit backwards and they floss, whatever.
What? But a chair?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what kids do. I'm old, man.
Are you talking about the floss as in like the dance move? The floss?
I think so.
Or the floss?
I don't think okay. They do that anymore.
They don't? Shoot.
I feel like they yes. don't.
I'm just old and have, I'm one
No,
back.
I definitely have a Fortnite character and he still has that dance.
Let's go. But specifically with doing ministry online, I feel like online ministry, it's not a new thing. It's existed for a while, but here we are. This is an online ministry, for lack of a better way of describing it. It's very much online. Are there any biblical principles related to doing ministry, maybe less face to face? I guess is do we have any? And I don't want to like, but what are your guys' thoughts? Is there any sort of what's the purpose of online ministry? Let's just make it general and move in from there.
Okay. First thought came to mind when you said biblical principles of doing ministry face to face are the epistles. They're letters that were sent by courier to churches. And the letter was meant to like represent the apostle or the people writing it to that congregation, that people who received it. And they were often like the apostle Paul, he wrote many of the epistles that we have. And he'll often end with like, this is my handwriting at the bottom here. And like, this is from me, like take this as if I am saying this to you. And I think again of the church growing in the book of Acts and the appointing of those seven deacons, like they were navigating change. And the apostles reached a point where they're like, we can't do the things we need to do. And so we're going to delegate our some of these responsibilities to other people. And it changed with the change of growth. And yeah. So now as we are here with this technological achievement of the internet, I see that as another place where we got to get in there. And I mean, there's many ministries on the internet that primarily do online ministry, whether they're podcasts or articles or videos, or like online meet and greets. There's many different ways to do it, but it's a place that people go to look for answers. Google it. Go check it out. They go online to find out things. And what better place for a ministry to be, but to be online so that when they look for something, we can be there to help them find it.
Yeah. I think the people who print and sell Strong's Concordance don't like it as much. Because you can just go search it. And here we are. But no, I really like that comparison of like the letters written to the reach of the internet. I feel like I dare speak the name, but I feel like when COVID happened, the unpleasantness, it kind of forced, I think, a lot of people to come to grips with that idea that this is a tool and we can either choose to use it or not, but we have to make a choice. One of the things I had put down was this idea like it increases, I think it's what you're saying really, is it increases reach and access. Like, you know, I think of like 100 years ago, if this Bible teacher, or this scholar, or whoever wasn't in your town, you didn't hear from them. Like it just, you might never know about them unless they went on like a circuit of, you know, traveling around preaching. And now Like I can hop on the internet and watch sermons from all over the country, the world, if I so desire. And it's a good thing. It's also, it has some dangers. Michael's like, yeah.
But the internet is like a perfect place, and there's nothing ever that goes wrong with the internet. I don't know what you're talking about, actually.
That's been my experience. especially social media. I can't think of a single thing that has ever gone south.
And everything you find on the internet is true.
It's facts.
Yeah.
Like if somebody took the time to type it out, it has to be true. That's what I've learned. my skeptic's heart, but I think that, but that is also important, is because I almost wonder if churches should teach like media literacy. Cause I will tell you, I work at a school. They don't teach it. They do not teach media literacy. They just teach media. And I almost wonder if like, kind of like back in the day where I think Christians were one of the extra things that wasn't necessarily like, but they were teaching, you know, whether it's about, these are biblical principles related to money, or these are biblical principles related to parenting. Oh, yeah. And it's really a parenting class with, we have some Bible undergirding it. I wonder if there is room for biblical principles when it comes to media literacy and taking in stuff on the internet and, or just taking in mass media, whether that's like pop culture media or what have you. Cause I think you'd be hard pressed to find a church that does that and does that competently and well. I don't mean that to sound mean, but, like, not every character's Jesus. So that's what I mean by that.
You mean biblical character?
No. I'm saying like, I think there's, cause there's people that are like, oh, what is, I'm trying to find an example, but they'll say, oh, Wall-E is Jesus. And it's like, well, he is a robot.
Oh, I see.
And he has there's some truth in there. But you see, like, but there's people where, like, if you write an article saying, like,
what's the main character from The Matrix? That's another one that I've heard people use.
Neo?
Guys, I've never seen it. I've never seen The Matrix.
There's a lot of, like, Messiah type character, like Paul Atreides from Dune. That's a relevant one that just came out. Or, like, Luke Skywalker. Or maybe Anakin Skywalker. It depends who you fight about that. But lots of, you know.
But I think the value is being able to see it because and have that conversation, because I know there's people that they just slap a label and write their blog and send it, and it's, and people find it and they're like, oh yeah. And they like hitch their wagon to that. I don't know. I'm off on.
Oh, you know, I just had a thought.
Perfect.
About it's relevant to this topic. But like, let me see if I can formulate it real quick. Oh man, I'm so sorry. You know when you grab a pile of sand and you just let it, like you watch it fall through your fingers? That's just that's just the thought I had. I watched it just fall away. I don't remember.
if it comes back to you, I think the book of Ecclesiastes describes that as hevel. But if it comes back to you, just pump the brakes and it'll be great.
I'm here. Okay.
See,
I think it's great, to like practice discernment and like look into like things like the Chronicles of Narnia or like Lord of the Rings or like things where they like very clearly have some biblical elements in it and such. But also there is the allegory trap that I just would like to put out there. The sense of like, I believe, was it Augustus? I forget who it was. There was an old church father who would look at parables. The one that comes to mind for me is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And he would dissect that parable, and every item, character, component of that story had a meaning. The moon meant something in that story. The money that was given to the innkeeper had a meaning. Every part of that story was given a meaning. And so when you are looking and dissecting things on the internet and trying to find some biblical nugget in there, be very careful that you're not putting, what's that called? Not like drawing out, but exegesis and eisegesis, like putting your understanding of like, oh, this could be this, but that's you inferring it to be that type of thing. So be careful when you're on the internet and you're trying to make something sound good and biblical. Maybe it's just not.
Well, and yeah, 100%. And I think that idea is maybe sometimes like when Paul starts talking about like teachers and elders and has these different stations within ministry. I think that's part of why he has those is like, that's not to say, oh, well, you don't have, but you know, there is something to be said about experience and well-versedness in the things of God and in the gospel to be able to say, no, that one's just a goat. Like, not all the goats are special. This one is just a goat. And not Brad. He's a different type of goat.
Oh, Brad's the... What does that acronym stand for? Greatest of all time?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Brad Detweiler is the greatest of all time. The goats that you're talking about are... bad.
Yes.
No acronym there, just a regular old goat.
Yep. If you're following the little thingy I sent, you will notice that we are about halfway through it. And you will also notice that we are at the 50 minute mark of this record. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to overstretch our time. But I'm good with continuing, or we can kind of summarize some of our thoughts so far and maybe jump. I think we've covered some of these already, but, jump back in next month. I'll leave that kind of, I can cut all this. This is the easy stuff to cut. Nice. But what do y'all think? Do you want to soldier on and, really, I'm looking at the handoff question next is like, what does it look like when we hand off ministry?
Sure.
But
I have time to do it. Michael, it's up to you.
I got to start putting the kiddo to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time to start that process.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna head home and get that going, too. Well, so I just kind of want to, and you guys jump in and add it if I, but. It sounds like ministry is this act of faithfulness that is doing the thing God has given us to do, and it's in service to Him, but it also is reaching others for His glory and to bring them into like a saving relationship with Jesus. And when we look at like biblical examples of ministry, we see kind of the gamut of people who have great success. I would say Paul, but we also see like folks that they are the planters and waterers and, you know, success in a ministry is not always in numbers or responses or hands raised or, number of Bibles handed out, just running through the lists that I see in here. And then, if I missed any, like, I just want to make sure that we have this like wrap up idea of, you know, ministry is Christian service rendered to God for the benefit of Christians and non-Christians. I mean,
I would add a word of caution as well with like in ministry, you can super easy to get caught up in the sense of like, this is my ministry. This is my work. This is what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
And then you burn out because you overdo it. happens with pastors, youth pastors, ministry leaders all over the place. It's good to remember that it is a partnership, and it is the Lord working with people who aren't always the most adequate. And that just gives more glory to the Lord to show that he worked with Aaron, and like he was able to fulfill his purposes through that man.
Yeah.
And so just a word of caution to everyone out there who's in their daily ministry. Don't try to do it in your own strength. Look to the Lord, pray, pray with other people, have some sort of community to help you. Because if you try to do it by yourself, you will burn out. You will find some sort, it just won't work out the way you intend. Something, life happens, things happen. But keep the focus on the Lord. Be careful of numbers. Like, we reached 6,000 people this last week. That sounds nice and it's great for fundraising, but really focus in on taking care of those people and not using them as a number.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it'd be great if we closed in prayer. Michael, do you want to close us in prayer, and then I'll kind of outro it, and we'll get on with it.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these guys and everything that they constantly are putting into this ministry that we're a part of. Thank you for the knowledge and wisdom and patience that you've given each of us. We thank you for allowing us to do ministry for your glory and to teach your word and get it out there. Pray that we would keep the gospel in view as we continue on with our ministry, that we would center everything around the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that ultimately that message of the gospel, that forgiveness is available through the Son of God, is what's communicated. Pray that you give us energy as we go about our week, that we would honor you in everything that we say and do, and that people would be blessed through our ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Alrighty, guys. Well, thank you. And we will be back with you for another one of these chats next month, and you're gonna get to hear from Marta now. So bye, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Pickled Parables. If you enjoyed this message, please rate us, subscribe, and share with your friends. If you're interested in more things like this, check out our secondary podcast called My Dusty Bible. To stay up to date with all things Parable, follow us on Instagram at @parable_ministries and visit our website at parableministries.com. Parable is a volunteer organization, and we would deeply appreciate your prayers. Thank you for joining us today. We'll catch you later.